We all have this role that we play. The ego essentially is the identity of each one of us. I'm Mahesh, and there is somebody called Indu, somebody called Shilpa, somebody called Saujanya, somebody called Ramya. We have all these characters. Each one of us carry an identity which serves the purpose of the transaction that we have, that we enact in this world. This is necessary. This is our ego identification. But what is more important is, once the role is finished, you have to get back. Which means, your ego identification starts from the time you wake up. If your children have to call you, if your parents have to call you, if your spouse has to call you, or your siblings have to call you, they call you by your name, or at least your nickname. So there is an identity. But when that identification is done, you have to get back. Get back to where? Get back to who? Get back to what? We need to find out. We need to know where we need to get back. If we don't, then we end up identifying with the ego all the time. We believe that we are the ego. We aren't. And that's why this session. Welcome to Agar Meditation. And today we are going to experience taming the ego. Going back to where we come from. That's very, very important. Otherwise, we believe that there is happiness, there is sadness, there is all kinds of these emotions that well up with each and every transaction that we go to, and we begin to believe that we are not enough, that we are not good enough, that things are not happening to me. We start identifying with everything that is happening with the ego, and we begin to feel depressed, anxious, restless, angry. And we portray all kinds of emotions. We make a mess of our existence. So if you want to find out where you have to get back, then one of the most important and essential ingredients of your life is meditation. You have to get back to this place from where we come back. And you have to make it a habit by sitting every day. And as you familiarize with meditation, then you have to make it as much a part of your life as much breathing is a part of your life. You need to meditate all the time. If you don't meditate all the time, then the problem is that you begin to familiarize yourself more with the ego, and suffering is guaranteed. So let us today start practicing taming the ego. So first of all, let us understand, what is ego? So somebody mentioned in the chat yesterday, ego means edge God out, which is true. But then if you edge God out, then the question is, who is God? And edging out of where? So the point here is that any emotion that binds you, that prevents you from being happy, is an exhibition or expression of the ego. So any sadness, any anxiety, any anger, any restlessness, any unhappiness, any greed, jealousy, envy, any emotion that wells up primarily is because of the ego. If there was no ego, which means that if you know where to get back to, or if you learn to just become an observer, then you are not in the ego self, you are in the divine self, where you just become an observer and you are not resisting anything. It is possible to be like that, but it takes consistent practice. So the word is not tremendous practice, the word is consistent practice. So when you are consistent, then you will get there. It is like you wake up in the morning, if you've been living in the house for a decade, you wake up in the morning with half-closed, unfocused eyes. You just know where the bathroom switches are, and you just know where the door is, and you just step into the bathroom and go and stand in front of the wash basin and just pick your brush put the toothpaste on and start brushing your teeth. It's just familiarized with it. You've just familiarized with it. You're so used to it. It's the same way with consistent practice, you can get to being who you truly are. So let us start the practice today. The first practice, of course, is to always ground ourselves and always connect to the source. So now, if you are sitting on a chair, make sure that your feet are not crossed and make sure that the surface of your sit bones is higher than the surface of your knees, at the height of your knees. If you're sitting on a couch, make sure you are at the edge, or better still is to sit on a chair. Do not use a backrest, that can compromise your position. If you're sitting on the ground, make sure that your sit bones are slightly raised, maybe a few inches, so that your back straightens up. Again, if you're sitting on the ground, do not use a backrest. Your back must be straight but not stiff. Your neck and head must be straight alongside the spine, all in one line. Keep your eyeballs in a downward gaze and your eyelids closed. This is required for you to arrest the mind. And now we'll start the practice. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in a golden circle of light. This represents your inner space. It's inside you. So which means that you can imagine yourself sitting in a golden circle of light in your imagination. The size of this circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. The circle is on the ground. In front of you, imagine a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. You can imagine any name and form of God you worship, or any guru, or you can just imagine the sun or a ball of light or anything that is God for you or consciousness for you. In your inner scene, see yourself getting up from your seat, walk to this pole, and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color appeals to you. And walk back to your seat, connected by this ribbon as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. And now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any restlessness, any anxiety, any clutter, any disturbance that you may be having in your mind or your body or your emotions and feelings. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain and distress that you may be carrying in any part of you for a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative emotions, negative memories, negative experiences. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any fatigue, any pain, or even a sense of tiredness or weakness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this love. As you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any sense of guilt, a sense of low self-worth, or low self-esteem. To make this practice more powerful, let us imagine a flower in the center of your chest. Let this flower be fully blossomed, fresh, fragrant, colorful, blossomed flower. If the flower is anything but blossomed, order it to come into full bloom. And ask your higher consciousness to send its unconditional love to you. Breathe in through this flower in the center of your chest. There may be one or many flowers. Fill your beingness with all the love that the higher consciousness is giving you. As you breathe out, direct this love towards all of creation. When I say all of creation, that means the trees, the plants, the animals, the humans, the birds, the sky, the water, the air, the mountains, everything, whatever exists that you can see in your imagination, send the flowers to it. Do not imagine to send the flowers. Whatever imaginations come to you, send the flowers to all of them. Send the love, direct the love to all of them. Come back to conscious awareness and slowly open your eyes when you're ready. It's important for us to understand who you really are. Who am I really? Am I this ego? Am I the thoughts? Am I the feelings? Am I this life? Am I the experience? Or am I the victim? Who am I really? This is a very, very important question for us to ask. That's because we have come far away from who we really are when we assume ourselves to be victims, we assume ourselves to be hopeless, we assume ourselves to be careless, irresponsible, and all those things. We have so many verbs and adjectives to who we really are. But are we that really? We always want happiness. But when happiness comes, we run away from it. We always want peace, but when we are peaceful, we want to fill that space with something that creates restlessness and anxiety. We are so caught up in doing that we forget being. To live, we do not require money. We do not require any resources to live. Everything that we need is already being provided. If you want to live, all you need to do is to help others. That is sign enough that you are more than who you think you are. Because when you help others, you will get food for your stomach, you'll get clothes to wear, you'll get a place to stay. But when you want a lifestyle, that's when you need a lot of money. And that's when you need a particular kind of job, you need to have this kind of an outcomes, then you need to do this and that and that and that, and then you will get all the money that is required for your lifestyle. So you must understand that life and lifestyle are two different things. To live, which means to live a life, you don't need money. But to live a lifestyle, you need money. So you have to decide what you're after. If you are after a lifestyle, then you have to forget being God. But if you want to live, then live as God. And when you live as God, you live abundantly, which means that everything that needs to fill your life simply manifests in your life. When it says simply manifests in your life, which means that you are vibrating at that frequency where everything that you need walks into your life. This is absolute possibility. Many people live by this, where they do not create anything, but they are living as the creator itself. So let us now focus on being, on who I am really. So now this we can do with a very small meditation. So again, sit with your back, neck and head straight, and keep your eyeballs down, eyelids closed. I want you to observe the breath traveling through your nostrils. You don't have to put any effort, you just have to observe. And now, I want you to ask yourself silently, I want you to ask yourself, who am I? And see what happens to your thoughts. Ask again, who am I? And ask, who am I really? Open your eyes. I want some feedback at this moment. Can anyone raise your hand, tell me, what is it that you experienced when you asked, who am I? What happened to your thoughts? Yes, Purnima, unmute please. Yes. Can you speak? Hello? I'm not sure if I can hear you. I'm not able to hear you. Tati, can you unmute, please?
Can you hear me, Maheshji, Guruji?
Yes, I can. You can call me Maheshji. Don't call me Guruji. A lot of people call me Guruji. I'm not a guru.
I went blank.
Excellent.
I was completely blank.
Excellent. That's who you really are. You are actually nothing. But the point is, we all want to be somebody. We all want to be something. We are not the thing. Yes, Purnima also says, I was blank. Nisha says, at first my mind was blank, then came up some fears and likes. Yes, that always happens. It always happens. It's important for us to be in this blankness. So it's like being the hammer. You take the ego as the hammer or a drill gun. You don't carry it wherever you go. Or even for that matter, let us say a pen or a pad or a phone. You don't always use it. If there's anyone who is always using it, it's like when you're not talking on the phone, if you're browsing, you're actually doing something terribly wrong. You don't have to do that. You use your phone only when you're speaking, but if you are going to use that phone all the time, then you have a problem. You are afraid to go back to being yourself, because when you are all by yourself, it is blank. You are alone. And people don't like being alone. They always want someone along with them or some people. They want to be amidst people. They don't like being alone because they feel it's too empty. But the truth is that you are that emptiness. You are that emptiness. You are that nothing. And if any one of you have got a brilliant idea, please understand that it came from that nothingness, from that emptiness. So it's when you are empty, that's when creativity dawns. That's when creation happens. That's when creation is alive. And that's where you get a brilliant idea. So you have to practice this every day. Sit in meditation. The moment thoughts occur, ask, who am I? Just go that blankness. Just observe that blankness just like you would observe everything else. Observe. Don't try to make the mind blank. That's not possible. It's not possible for the mind to go blank because the mind essentially is Akasha and Vayu, which means that it is unstable, it is erratic, it is full of stuff. So you can't blank it. But what you can do is to rise above the mind. And this is the way. Ask, who am I? It's so simple. And when you constantly do this, when you do this more number of times than you would use the mind, then you get more familiar with being the self. So when you're not using the mind, when you tame the ego, what you do is to primarily be the self. And then taming the ego primarily means to tame your senses and your emotions. Make it a practice to withdraw your senses and withdraw your emotions. How do you do that? This is a small practice that we can do. Let's say that you are waiting for somebody in someone's office. Or let's say that you just took a break from work. Or let's say you're waiting for a bus or waiting for Uber somewhere. Let's say you're waiting. Okay. Now you can have a small practice that we all can do to just withdraw our senses. This is taming the ego. So let's do this simple practice. Purnima, I'll come back to you in a minute. If you still have, do you have something else to say? If not, you can just lower your hand. If you have something else to say, let it be. Okay. So let's do the small practice. I want you to put your thumb. I want you to put your thumbs up so that you can look at the nail of your finger. It could be the right hand or the left hand, whichever is easy for you. And now, I'm going to ask you to look at the first digit. The first digit comprises of your nail and the few lines that come which separates the thumb from the second digit that joins the thumb to the hand. So you can place the thumb on the desk or on any surface, on your thigh. You can place it on a table if you're sitting in front of a table. Wherever you think it can be comfortable, you can place the thumb. And now I'm going to ask you to look at the thumb, look at the nail. So for those of you who wear nail polish, please don't ridicule your thumb. And for those of you who've been looking at your thumb after a long time, do not wonder why those lines are there, or do not wonder why the undulations are there. Please don't worry. This is a time for you to just observe, but not to judge. So sit with your hand with your thumbs up in front of you. I'm going to ask you to look at the thumb for just about 12 seconds. All right, just 12 seconds. So let us start now. stop. Did anyone get thoughts? If you got thoughts, then raise your hand. Excellent. So let's do this once more. Yes, Tati, you got thoughts?
Yes.
All right, fine. So let's just intensify the practice. So some of us have a very low attention span. So let's just make this a little more intense. So what you're going to do now is when you are going to exhale, you're going to draw your abdomen in when you exhale, okay? The inhalation will happen all by itself. You're just going to focus on your exhalation as you draw your abdomen in, and then you're going to simultaneously look at the thumb. So we're going to start this practice again. Let us start now. As you exhale, draw your abdomen inside. As you inhale, let it happen naturally. Stop. That's 12 seconds. Did you still get thoughts? Anyone? Great. So now let's just increase the time of this practice. Okay, if you get any thoughts, you just ask, who am I? And just focus on breathing out. When you exhale, just focus on drawing the abdomen inside. And when you inhale, let it happen. And you're going to look at your thumb. So let us start this practice now. Stop. Did anyone get thoughts? Yes, Tati?
I don't think I'm doing it right, so, you know. Yeah, I'm not doing it right.
Maybe. What happened? Don't just judge yourself. Tell me what happened.
First of all, I'm hard of hearing. So, I'm really not... maybe I'm missing some words. So, that's the problem, I guess.
Okay, can you hear me? Is this clear?
I can hear you, but there are some syllables which I can't hear. That, I think that's why I'm afraid to ask you to repeat.
You can ask me to repeat. You can ask me to repeat. It's perfectly okay. So, what I said was that you need to observe your thumb. That's what I said. Is that clear to you?
Yeah, so what I was doing was keeping the thumb straight in front of me.
Yes.
And the thumb's upside.
Right.
That's what I'm doing.
Yes.
And then I'm observing the thumb.
That's correct.
Right. And what I missed was, what do I have to do when inhaling and what do I have to do when exhaling?
Okay. So while you exhale, you draw your abdomen inside. You pull your abdomen inside as you exhale.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's do this once more. Ramya, you can join us once more. And then if you have thoughts, you can raise your hand. Okay, we do this again for a few seconds. Let us start the practice now. Stop. Any thought this time, Tati?
No, nothing. I'm just looking at the thumb and I'm inhaling and exhaling naturally. I didn't get any thoughts.
Wonderful. We often judge ourselves. We are too critical of ourselves. We must not do that. Okay, even if you did not do it properly, don't criticize yourselves, don't judge yourselves. You can always ask, am I doing it right? Is there something that I'm missing? But do it without judgment, do it without criticism. So when we criticize ourselves, we let ourselves down, and then it becomes difficult for us to pick ourselves up. Yes, Shilpa?
Doc, there was no thoughts at all, but after the first time, my thumb, my nail became blurred every single time I did it. I couldn't...
Yes, when you... That's correct, yes. So the nail becomes blurred when you lose focus. So which means that you stopped focusing, your mind diverted.
That's there was what, no thought. There was absolutely no thought.
Yes, I understand. The mind does divert. The mind is excellent impersonator. It impersonates everything. It can play God very well. Alright, so you have to focus. So when you focus after some time, what happens is you only see the nail, everything around it blurs out, and then slowly you will see the nail will also blur out, and then you'll only feel consciousness. You can only resonate with consciousness. You will see everything around the nail blur out, but the nail alone will be in focus. Is there anyone who felt that way? All right. Yes, Mr. Bhattacharya. So yes, maybe if I look longer. Yes, correct. So you can look longer. You felt it that way. Good. So you just have to continue to look at it. So what has been told by the masters is that when you look at this, look at your thumb for about 29 minutes, you go into samadhi. And that's how simple it is. But it's not easy because the mind keeps interfering. And the mind is interfering because we are the ones who let it interfere. Now coming to taming the ego, we've been visiting it in bits and pieces. Whenever we have conversations, whenever thoughts cross the mind, whenever we have to work, we have to think, we have to project, we have to reflect, we always use the ego. And what is worse is that we lose ourselves in the ego. Then we begin to react emotionally. This is where we completely merge with the ego, and we begin to believe that we are the ego. Then we start feeling that we are a victim of circumstances. We start feeling something is fair, something is not fair, and all those feelings and beliefs start taking root in us. And then it becomes extremely difficult for us to get ourselves out of it. The simplest thing that we can do is to step out, and this is the way. Meditate. And every time the ego raises its hood, for example, let's say that two people are having a conversation with someone, and the other person starts justifying his stand and blaming you, for example. Instead of justifying your stand, instead of countering what the other person has said, you just have to come back to yourself and ask, who am I? The reason you have to do this is because if you know what is the truth, then you don't have to prove it to anyone else. You have to prove it to people when you are actually justifying what you're saying, because truth does not require any justification. Truth rests. It does not require any justification. And when you do this, then you will see that you are at peace. Peace must be the victor, not you. Love must win, not you. Happiness must win, not you. This is taming the ego. It takes effort for you to start associating with yourself, the divine self, and not with the ego. So I have a question. Can I ask why the thumb? Yeah, because you carry it at all places. It's part of your body. It's the easiest thing that you can do. It's as simple as that. If not the thumb, you can use your toe. You can use your big toe. Or you want to use something else that you can carry as much as your thumb, you can look at that. Anything for that matter is good enough. But the thumb is the easiest because that's the one thing that you can carry anywhere. You're carrying it all the time. So if there's anyone who does not have a hand, then you can possibly fix a bindi on your arm, on your forearm, and look at it. Or you can look at anything for that matter. You can look at a spot on the wall. You can stare at that. Anything for that matter. But the thumb is the easiest because you just have it with you. So to tame the ego, to let love win, to let happiness win, and to let joy win, to let peace win, you don't have to lose, but you sacrifice. You sacrifice yourself. Yes, Tati.
So, Maheshji, we are saying, like you gave an example of two people conversing and one person is justifying, right? Yes. And obviously, I will immediately, at this point today, I will immediately react and I do react. So, what you are suggesting is I need to recognize that I'm going to react and take a step back and cut my thumb. Is that what you are saying? Or trainer ego?
What I'm saying is get to the awareness. When somebody says, when somebody implicates you, what is the other person exactly trying to do? The other person is trying to be the ego. That's what the other person is trying to do. The other person is acting out of fear. When that person is acting out of fear, you don't have to act out of fear. You can just observe the other person's fear and have compassion, because he needs to protect his ego. Is that clear?
Yeah, and what is not clear during, so and I'm continuing this conversation, I'm sorry about it, but
no problem.
So what is happening there is I'm doing one more thing. I'm judging that person at that time and saying he's acting out of fear. And then I'm keeping quiet and I'm becoming aware. So the second part is good, that I don't have to react, I have to train my ego, but I'm judging also, right? That other person is acting out or whatever ego he has at that moment.
Because we are familiar with being the ego, we are able to quickly grasp the fact that the other person is acting out of fear. Because we ourselves have done it in the past. And so you're not judging, you're observing and recognizing the fact. You're recognizing the fact that you are acting out of the ego. There's a difference between judging and recognizing. So there is a question. Is that clear, Tati? Is there anything else?
Yeah, that's fine.
Go ahead, if you have another one. If you have another question, go ahead.
Difficult for me to separate judging and recognizing. I'm not able to separate those two. That's why I'm saying I'm hesitating to say yes to you. Yeah.
Do you want to know the difference?
Yeah, but I'm taking a lot of everybody's time. So.
A lot of people are benefiting from your questions. How many people here are benefiting from Tati's questions?
We are learning, Dr. Neil.
There you go. You see the number of Tati, you see this. So don't judge yourself. Don't judge yourself. See, the point is, we have an experience. Now, how do we know someone feels hurt? It's because we carry an experience of being hurt. How do we know someone is happy? Because we relate to our experience of being happy. How do we know that someone is feeling bad, or someone is feeling lonely, or someone is feeling angry? It's because we have an experience of being so. So we quickly relate to that experience that we have had, and we realize and we recognize that this person is feeling so. Most of the time we'll be right, sometimes we may not be right, but most of the time we are right. So this is recognition. When you judge others, then you are saying that this person is afraid. When the person is afraid, then you react. But when you recognize, you don't react. When you recognize, you just simply observe, you acknowledge, and you let it be. But when you judge, then you become a victim of your judgment, because then you want to treat your judgment. You want to work with your judgment. You want to do something about it. Is that clear?
Yes, yes. It's more the what happens after these two.
That's correct. Yes.
Now it's clear. Yes. So, yes. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Now there is a question here. Should I not react if others speak nonsense out of his ego? That's called judgment. The moment you recognize something as nonsense, that's judgment. So what is nonsense? It is somebody speaking because he or she wants attention, possibly, or just wants to blabber because the person is so anxious or restless. Or maybe the person is irresponsible, and so the person speaks. This is where we need to be compassionate with the other person. I'll give you an example. I was in a particular room in some place, and somebody sent a text message asking me whether I could share the number of a particular person. So I told him, I need to ask this person whether I can share his number with you. It's actually courtesy. So if someone asks any of your number, I can't just share it. I have to ask you whether I can share your number. And so I told him that, and he countered me asking, is that person the Prime Minister of India? Why are you hesitating from giving me that number? So he went into a mode of victimhood. Now, I did not respond. I just recognized the fact that he was feeling hurt because I did not share the number outright. And then he went on a barrage, messaging all kinds of things. And I just let it be. In the morning, I looked at the messages and I just replied saying that you need to work on your feeling of being a victim of circumstances. So all the messages that he sent to me had... had nothing to do with me. It was just that this person was going through a sense of being a victim of circumstances. So it was the past that was being projected through the messages. So it's important for you to recognize what the other person is going through rather than judging the other person. That's the difference. Yes, Ramya? Okay, so here is a question. There is a lot of noise created when someone said something regarding Sanatana Dharma, what one has to do, what the politician should do. But why are we discussing here? That's what the politicians do all the time, right? So let's not discuss this here. But if he sits, now there's the other question, but if he sits in responsible position and I need to listen to him and do as he wants. Now, this is, okay. If he sits in a responsible position, yes, agreed. And I need to listen to him. Yes, listen to him. Do as he wants. Now, this is what... there was this person called Subhash Patri. If you have heard of him, he had started the Pyramid Valley. He conducted the Pyramid Meditation. Now, one day I was in a conversation with him and I asked him, how do you... I mean, when you listen to others, what do you do? I mean, like so many people giving so many suggestions. And he made a very good statement. He said, Suno sabka karo apna. Listen to everybody, but do what you have to do. But the beauty of this is, let me tell you this, the beauty of this is this, I tried it out with my parents. When your parents say something, you have to listen to them. But when you have to act, do as your heart says. And apparently, parents are actually okay with that. They just want you to listen to them. And I tried this by giving suggestions to so many people, by telling the same thing, listen to your parents, but do as your heart says. And without an exception, I found that everybody's parents were okay with their children doing what they believed was right, but first they needed to be listened to. All right, this is very important. Now let me bring that into the corporate environment. If Mr. Bhattacharjee, if your question is pertaining to the corporate environment, let me come to that. This is something that happened with a company where I was giving a talk many years ago, and they told me that the boss was a very angry person, and this was a battery company, and they said that he was so angry, and there were a lot of about 20 odd male employees, and all of them voiced the same concern. So I told them, send imaginary flowers to your boss. Send imaginary flowers to your boss, which means that every time you breathe in a lot of beautiful, colorful, blossom flowers, and when you breathe out, share these flowers. We have done this meditation before. And when you do that, it will turn your boss around. And they did this for a few minutes, and the next day itself, the boss was milder than how they knew him to be. So this is a simple thing that you can do. So always, always observe and take action instead of just reacting to circumstances. At the start of the session, you said any kind of negative emotion arises out of the ego self. So how about positive emotions? Isn't that part of the ego self too? Now, this is the problem. We need opposites. Positive, negative, good, bad, right, wrong, up, down, front, back. We need all these opposites. There is nothing called as positive emotions. There are only emotions. In fact, we are so blinded by the words that are used that we don't even think. First of all, let me just clear this for you. Love is not an emotion, so it cannot be positive. Love is existence. So I'll give you, illustrate an example. You met a dog. The moment you see it wagging its tail, you feel love. 10 seconds. Beautiful. The moment you want to pet it, you lost it. When you see a person, a very attractive person, for the first few seconds you feel, wow, something happens in your heart. Something just opens up. Love. 10 seconds. But the moment you want to convert that moment into a conversation or a friendship, you lost it. Love is life, is not an emotion. All right? Happiness is the same thing. You are happy, but the moment you want it to continue, you lost it. It becomes pleasure. So there are no positive emotions. There are only emotions, and emotions are of the ego. Yes, Shilpa.
Doc, just a little bit more on what you said. You have said before. So I have a habit of, you know, when I see cute kids, stray cats, dogs, I smile when I see them at a distance. They come closer, they get excited, and then I end up petting them. So I remember what you said, so I just observe. But then that like you said, it's 10 seconds or a little longer, and then it changes. So how do we not get into that mode for maybe a little longer, if possible?
Just observe, that's all.
Okay, thank you, Doc.
It doesn't require any explaining. You just have to observe. That is all. So we have come to the end of this session. thank you all for this interaction. Thank you, Tati, specifically for asking so many questions. It's important that you ask questions. It's only when you ask questions that you really mean that you have some interest in working towards it. Thank you very much. So to all of you, please don't judge yourself. Please don't beat yourself up. It's not necessary. There are no mistakes. There is carelessness or there is deliberate, willful action. Either ways, accept it and change it the very next minute so that you don't repeat what you've been doing. Life must go on. Don't hold yourself back in guilt. Don't beat yourself up. You are not bad after all. You are here to learn. And that's what you will do when you're here. This is a place for learning. This is not a place for you to judge yourself. Love yourself. Accept yourself. We all become careless at some time. We all become irresponsible at some time. We all are deliberate at some time. But let that be a learning experience. Let us all grow every single day through every single experience. With this, I end this session today. Have a beautiful weekend. Love yourself. Love your family. Look at every opportunity to be happy.